This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
We all agree on one thing. The Whoopi.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Speaking of kicking out, my God. Go. But, okay, you, first and foremost, you gotta finish before we come back.
Yeah. Dude, you can't call him out.
Call him out.
He's on camera.
Call him out. It's okay. That's what hurts so much. He's on camera. That's like
he's on camera.
Half of a percent of our audience, but that's okay.
Exactly.
Thanks for the donut. Willard brings it.
Late donuts.
I went
donut butt.
I went and purchased some at Bob's Donuts today. I figured that today, for whatever reason each of you have, would be a good anxiety comfort food day.
Every day.
No, the trade deadline is stressful.
That's right.
The Niners didn't get Mike Williams. Yeah. I'm angry.
Nothing to watch tonight. No sports.
Are you sure there was a deadline?
Stressful.
Wrong.
We got the match.
Thank you. Yeah. Doubleheader.
Yeah. Doesn't count.
Is Southern Bring even playing?
Minus 11, Miami, Ohio.
Oh, yeah. And lay that, by the way, lay that all day and twice on Sunday because Ball State. You stink.
Oh, boy.
So that's the official Maction lock of the day.
CNN. You've been hot night. The only night of the year I watch CNN.
I told you. I'm drinking the juice that you bought me. I saved it for tonight.
I'm watching the
ice maker's all filled up, and I'm ready for an all-nighter. Let's go. Because I want to break down those trades.
Dude, wow.
I'm going to be breaking down those trades till at least 3 in the morning.
It's funny you say that, because earlier this morning, and I dropped my baby girl off, my two-year-old off at grandma's house, and I got back home, and I put on CNN, and I put on Fox, and then I put on CNN, Fox, and it was like a tennis match of emotions.
You know what?
It was like, win, lose, win, win. It's a good rally.
But I tried it last night, and I tried it again this morning, and I'm like, y'all have nothing left. You don't have anything yet. I want the guy with the little pointer finger that
what
starts
do you call him?
Zeroing
What's his
in on
title?
Some random county.
A fraud.
Let's go to Pennsylvania where we boop, and now we're going to boop, and we're going to zoom in, boop, and all the way into
that is dope.
This guy named Bob.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what he voted for, and I'll tell you, it means a lot. It's an indicator. It's an indication sensation, dude.
Not until about 6 o'clock tonight.
I know.
No, and I love it, and what you're doing. And like in 2020, this happened in 2024, and trends. And emotions and all the rest of it. So I went back and forth and back and forth, and my wife got home from work for lunch, and she's like, "What are you watching?
What are you doing?
You're normally watching like Golf Channel, women's college golf.
I felt
Sharks play tonight.
I've never seen this before. Did you see this last night? If you were watching, I'm going to say circa 10 p.m., maybe 9:30.
Okay.
Did you see about this little town in New Hampshire that always starts? They start the vote.
Punxsutawney-ville.
Exactly.
The vote. I feel like I have a crystal ball into what parenthood is like right now.
Listen.
You guys are just tossing around these
random
what
towns.
Are you doing tonight?
Oh my god!
You have no idea.
What are you guys doing?
I have no idea. When the kids go to bed, I can watch anything. Right. Anything, and I'm just like, I'm so happy right now. It's quiet. But anyway.
So we're going to Manchester, New Hampshire.
No, there is this tiny
town.
No,
we went
town.
To Below Deck Sailing Yacht.
Listen, yeah. Population 6.
Oh my.
6. And they've got this whole, like, process. They're all in a room together. And they just write it down on a piece of paper, and they put it in a little box in the middle of the room, and there's a guy standing up there. He looks exactly like you'd picture he looks. And it's just like, okay, it's everybody's vote. And then they pull them out, and they announce to the room who everyone voted for. If you're curious, at the end of the 6 votes...
Don't say who.
I'm glad to know that Quakers are still around in 2024.
Wait, I didn't know that. 3-3. Three to three.
Well, then we got trouble.
Yeah. We got nothing figured out. Wow. I was like, oh, I thought we were gonna get out of here with a leader.
No love for RFK Jr.?
He
couldn't, like, scrape one out of the 6.
He got skunked.
Thank you. Yeah. I thought it was funny, too.
Four registered Republicans. 3 votes.
Yeah. They're actually paying for more residents. Whoever becomes the 7th resident becomes the most powerful person in the town.
Seriously. No doubt. Yeah.
Anyway.
How great of a mood is your guest going to be at 3 o'clock going
to
be in?
Well, we're going to have to get back to you. Yeah.
Whatever. I mean, it depends on the exit polls.
Well, exactly. Oh. He's going to be in a good mood based on his team, but I do believe that he is more locked in on his country than his team.
Our country.
But, our country, yeah. Shout out our country. Although, the country. Don't get me started on our country, right. Because living where we live, it really isn't our country.
California
is, it's a different place than quote unquote our country. But yes, he will be excited because, man, that thing is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Pretty awesome. Steph comes back and you're in a letdown spot and you don't have a letdown. And the chef comes in and does what he does. And I'm going to ask Steve about like why he didn't start the second half, and I think I know why he didn't start because
he was terrible in the first half. That's why.
Yeah, he was awful. And
turning into Steiny all 2 days worth.
Dude, he's like Steiny. He's like Steiny 35 years ago. This guy.
Did y'all hear Steiny come on the pregame show with us yesterday?
Wait, what?
What? No joke.
Oh, hell no.
Steiny turned into Evan.
No, he texted us. He was supposed to call our show.
What?
It was his idea. He was looking for him, and now.
He
what?
Was at the game last night with his daughter.
Yeah,
oh my God. Called us
Evan,
from outside.
I'm going to kill him.
Wait a minute. Just wait.
Wait.
Just wait.
Before you kill him.
You have no idea.
This human being morphed into the guy that we all want him to be most of the time. I've never heard this mood.
Never.
I got to go back and listen.
He's standing outside of the arena eating pizza. He's just out. He's like, I'm eating pepperoni right now.
They have an old ship out there?
Couldn't get him to stop talking. Yeah. He was running material.
Evan.
I asked him. I go, hey, I know you've only been there for a minute, but do you have a sense for how the locals in D.C. feel about Jordan Poole? Are they welcoming of Jordan Poole? Do you want to know what this guy does?
Just what,
he
man?
Goes, you know what? I'm not sure. Let me find out. Hey, you, Jordan Poole, what do you think? He starts cruising through the street.
And he's this guy is, he was speaking Finnish, so I don't know if he counts. He's from Finland. Let me try again. And he goes to another couple fans, and they're like, oh, no.
I don't know what to say, but.
I don't care about the story. He's dead to me. He's absolutely
what's
dead
funny,
to me.
What's funny, and you'll love this part of it.
Cheated on Steiny and Guru. His name's on the show.
Wow.
Well, afternoon drive, greater than middays, and you know that from your name.
He was doing the evening shift on the East Coast.
It was also Warriors Countdown, not Willard and Dibbs.
Technically. Warriors Live.
It was a shame.
Presented by Xfinity.
It was a shame.
What you'll love is he did like 3 of these like live things, and then after he did the 3rd one, and we're loving it, he's like, that's all, guys. I don't have any more.
And
he reverted back to his negative, closed self.
Well, so his daughter showed back up. She had to go back on public transportation all the way back home because she brought a bag.
That's where he texted us.
She brought a bag to the game, and you're not allowed to bring the bag into the game.
It's a bag alert.
It was.
Back major in the 70s, bag alert. So even with his connects, he couldn't get the bag in?
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't have that much juice then.
Why don't you go to the pizza place where you're eating the pizza and just like make friends and ask them if they could hold it behind the bar till after the game.
That's what I, lick it, Will.
Yeah.
Like, well, my sense was that
that's second level.
His daughter was only like four or five stops on the metro away, so it was an easy bop, bop, you know, back and forth. It, it felt like it was not a big
ordeal. Well, if you'd have read our text thread about it, it was a bigger deal than maybe he went on.
He promised and did not deliver.
He was upset.
Yeah, I don't like
the back to go back.
But you got to listen, Steiny. If you got tickets, and I know somebody gave them to you, but they've got stuff written on the back. There's called rules. If you read them.
Well, like, if you can read them.
If you can.
It's in 3-point font.
Well, it's also on the internet. There's a World Wide Web.
Yes.
And I'm guaranteed that the Wizards let everybody know that your bag needs to be clear and it needs to fit into this such and such a box and all of that. The ladies know.
Yeah.
This is every event anywhere right now.
So you guys watch small, you know, small television networks about small towns in New Hampshire. You also have actual handheld tickets still? Are they still doing that?
Well, no, maybe not. But when you get them, there's stuff like to read, you know, on the phone, even if you're doing a mobile ticket in your wallet.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because when I had mobile tickets last year for the Warrior game and I went with my wife we got there and I had no cell service, so I could not access my mobile wallet.
You got to put them in your wallet.
I had put them in my wallet,
No service, though. Yeah. You couldn't get to
My wallet was not able to be accessed at the time. Maybe it was a phone issue. Maybe it was a human error, but I prefer to have the in my hand, here's my ticket, take my ticket, call me old if you want, but...
You're old.
No, I'm actually pretty old school, but I just like it. Nice.
I don't even know if it's an option anymore.
For some places, it has
it's an
to.
Option.
It is? Yes. Are you sure?
Not everywhere.
I'm 100% sure.
Chase Center, you can walk in with a piece of paper and go to the game.
Correct.
Okay.
It has the barcode. The QR code, and they will scan it at the gate, and yes, it works.
Okay.
They also have Wi-Fi there, apparently. Not on every day. I don't know. Maybe the Niners' Wi-Fi wasn't working. They didn't get a lot of calls today. I don't know if you guys are keeping up with the trade.
That's a decent transition. I'm going to give you a 2 for that. You tried.
Johnny Stockton.
Well, they picked up Khalil Davis. That's big.
Yeah, now they got Khalil and Khalia.
Right.
Correct.
The Davis brothers. Yeah, exactly.
No relation. But... Yeah, so they basically... And they give up a 2026 seventh round pick.
Well, Dibs, they're trying to get a Super Bowl. Yeah. Why are they giving that guy come back to bite him? When they got aspirations, the Texans?
Because they don't need him?
That's what we...
Because he's a body, and, you know, there's a relationship between Rand Carthon and John Lynch, and, you know, they probably talked, and John's like, can you just give me somebody you don't need? Because we need somebody you don't need. We just need a person. And they were like, okay, just give me a seventh next year.
He has a sack this season.
He's been good.
A sack? Yeah.
No, he's been good.
One sack.
He's been good.
You've watched the film?
No, I've read what the Texans reporters have all said. So he's been good.
Okay. In fact, 22.
There have been...
Did they say that?
There have been some that have been suggesting he needs more run in the rotation Houston. And that's probably what it is. It's like what Dibs is saying. Like, they've got a surplus at that position. The Niners don't. So let's do that. But I've been listening today, Evan. I want to make sure I've got what you're saying. Are you suggesting?
Oh, I knew you were coming for it. I didn't know.
Are you suggesting that in some way, shape, or form, the Niners at this point, because they're 4-4, like we're not sure if they're contenders or not? I want to know in your words.
Oh no!
Not because they're 4-4.
Okay.
But because I think they know that they're not one player away.
Well, they're getting a bunch of players this week.
But that's what I'm saying, though. They would rather rely on in-house additions returning from injury than spending future draft capital to go out and acquire an impact player.
And that's because they're getting in-house players or because they're not convinced that they're good this year?
Well, they have no... I don't think they know which way this season's going to go.
Well, nobody knows anything on that
front. Well, yeah, I mean, we could also be dead tomorrow, according to Kyle Shanahan. But my point is, like... If Christian McCaffrey isn't who we expect him to be when he returns, then adding an impact player wouldn't matter anyways. Like, my point is their season is more dependent on McCaffrey's health, Greenlaw's health, and the rest of the players that are coming back than them going out and getting somebody at the deadline.
I wonder what the most impactful player was who was traded at the deadline, or even before the deadline.
Well, like, last night it was DeAndre Hopkins.
Okay. So, DeAndre Hopkins.
Or Za'Darius Smith, who I think is going to help.
Okay. Yeah. And could they have been in on him? I would hope they would have been in on him. But
I asked Evan the same thing. I don't think anybody that got moved would equate to what Evan is saying without saying it, and you tell me if you're wrong.
Agreed. Willard,
it sounds like Evan saying the Niners didn't make a move because they don't know if.
Yeah,
I know they got enough, I believe.
I completely agree with you. Like, the idea that the 49ers would go to the NFC title game pretty much every year for the last 5 years and then show up this year, have a couple of losses that everybody in the room doesn't feel should have happened, have a bunch of star players out who are coming back, and sort of be questioning whether they're in it this year. Just my take, I do not believe that that's how the Niners view their team at all.
That said, I mean, Za'Darius Smith got acquired for a fifth and a sixth.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, could you have parted with those two picks and been able to get somebody who was more impactful to your team than what you currently have?
Yes. I think that they were more interested in the interior than the exterior of the line. If you want it, and I don't know if the Niners look at it this way. I don't know if we should look at it this way because this gets to be gibberish at some point. But if you want to go to the performance metrics so far this year, Za'Darius Smith and Leonard Floyd have essentially been the same player. Same output. Man. So, like, do you need to give up two draft picks to get Za'Darius Smith to come in and do essentially what Leonard Floyd's already doing? I don't think that they thought that that made sense. You know what I mean? This is a depth move,
right?
Not necessarily a let's go get a starting player move.
By the way, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, always live in the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union.
I just look at where they are, and you could say they should be 6-2, and you know there's a great argument, and I would lose that argument, but you're 4-4, and I look at why you're 4-4, and in large part it's because your interior defensive line, so you bring in Khalil Davis to join with Kalia Davis, and is that the fix? Well, we're going to find out. I still think about a legitimate edge rusher like Za'Darius Smith and somebody who can come in, and now you've got three guys, and you know you don't play everybody every snap, so you have a three-man rotation with Bosa and Floyd and Smith, and now you can really have a threat every single down on passing downs, but instead you brought in somebody who is a depth piece and somebody in the interior line who can really help you, and we'll see how it works.
A lot cheaper. Yeah. I mean, I don't, you know, and that's the other thing. Like, if you're looking to bolster a group, to me, that's you don't give up a lot for that. If you're just looking for depth, it's kind of like I bet that they made some calls on depth type wide receivers, Kendrick Bourne or whatnot. But like, what are you going to give up for that? You know, and so the wide receiver, the receivers were actually rather cheap. As it sounded
super
like.
Super cheap.
And I still look at that. I'm like, you're a Debo, even though Jennings is coming back, you're a Debo injury, which seems to happen a lot away from just being Jennings and Pearsall, and then the bench guys, which I feel like is a little bit thin. But, yeah, like the 49ers are also, I think we have to keep in mind that they're going into a year where they're going to try to extend Purdy, which makes draft picks more valuable than in other years. They need cheap labor.
Yeah. Evan, if you could bring up, who was our guest? Ross Tucker.
Yeah.
And Ross made, he was just talking, and he said, he was just talking about the gravity of having a guy like McCaffrey back in the huddle. And Evan took it, or we all, some did, as, hold on, you're saying that McCaffrey's silhouette in the huddle will be different than when you got a guy like Brock Purdy? And we were having fun going back and forth. I said, that's no shade. And Evan said, he didn't say Ross was making this point, but I was making the point to Evan that it's become clear to me that the Niner offense, rightfully so, is centered around McCaffrey. And we've watched him not play one snap, and they're 4-4. And I feel like, as great as I think Brock Purdy is, there's no shade, guys, you tell me what you think, by looking in the huddle without McCaffrey and saying, hey, Brock, you're doing great, but this thing runs through number 23. He allows Kyle's job to be everybody's job. So if I bring that up, that's no shade at young Brock Purdy, because I told Evan, you know, he's not Brady yet. He ain't been in the league.
Yeah, I don't think Ross was trying to say that. He was trying to be complimentary to McCaffrey because he compared it to when he played and they had Drew Bledsoe in the huddle. And when Bledsoe was there, they felt like they were always going to win, no matter what, because they believed in Bledsoe. And he was basically giving that kind of those flowers to McCaffrey. Like, McCaffrey comes back, we feel like we can win any game. I'm not saying that he was taking, I don't think he was taking a shot at that.
Gotcha.
But my point was just, well, shouldn't that guy already be in the huddle? Like,
But not if he's 3 years a QB.
Not from a scheme standpoint for me.
There's too much of like we get too deep into the who's the straw that stirs the drink. There are multiple straws.
McCaffrey, and that's okay.
But if McCaffrey's in the huddle and Purdy's not, they're hosed. They're absolutely beyond hosed. So, like, we can do this, and I just wish we wouldn't. They're both incredibly important. Christian changes the whole playbook.
You said if he was in there, Purdy's not.
How's that going? You'd be hoping to be 4-4, in my opinion. So,
the pastor not.
I look at it as McCaffrey is a big playbook changer. It makes it a lot harder for defensive coordinators. Plus, there's also something emotional about these guys. McCaffrey and Dre Greenlaw being on the practice field, and now it's the second half, and you're coming off a bye. Like, I think the Niners should be juiced right now, and I hope we see that Sunday. And it'd be concerning if we don't, quite frankly.
For me, it's more about what this does for Kyle Shanahan than it does for Brock Purdy. Because Brock Purdy is going to do what Brock does no matter what. But when you have Jordan Mason, the defense knows when you break the huddle and you have Mason and Kittle and you've got Debo and let's just say Juwan and Juszczyk, you pretty much know what's going to happen. Either Mason's going to run it or Mason's going to do pretty much nothing.
Right.
When you have McCaffrey in the huddle and they break the huddle and he all of a sudden now goes in the slot and you've got Debo as a running back or you've got McCaffrey as the running back and you've got Debo in front of him, there are so many things schematically that you can do with McCaffrey that helps Kyle more than it helps Brock.
Brock
is going to Brock no matter what. Brock is going to run the play and he's not going to audible and he's going to usually check down correctly and he's not going to make a lot of mistakes and Brock is going to run what he runs. But when you have McCaffrey, now when you look at the huddle, and I'm thinking about that red zone play where Kittle scored that easy touchdown and they had 22 personnel and they ended up going empty and they had Saubert way out wide and they had Kittle in the slot and it was like, whoa, this formation we've never seen. And Brock got the snap and it was boop, Kittle, easy touchdown. When you have McCaffrey, you have more of those huddle mismatches where when you huddle up as a defense and you look at Debo and McCaffrey and Juszczyk, you don't know what they're going to run.
Well, it sounds like you're describing last year's Niners.
Exactly.
They were
but I'm describing incredible. It from a Kyle standpoint, not Brock. So Brock, yes, it helps him a lot because you've got, an amazing red zone target. And you look at last year in the red zone, they were number one. And this year, they're number 27.
Man, yeah, not good. Boy.
I think. And it's not all McCaffrey, but it's a lot of McCaffrey. Yeah. Because when you get first and goal at the 10, and you have McCaffrey and Kittle and Juszczyk and Debo, you could do all kinds of different things.
I believe
it. It's no knock on Jordan Mason, but he's not.
And that's why I'm not counting the Niners out.
He's not to where Christian McCaffrey is yet.
Maybe Saquon. And you look what
true,
he's doing.
But he doesn't catch the ball a ton like McCaffrey does.
He can.
So could Derrick Henry.
Dropped the big one to cost him a game.
Yes, he did.
That seems like a
bad throw.
Just
be better.
In terms of like if I'm a linebacker and knowing where to go, I think that those guys have a similar effect on you, which you're up a creek. And the Niners, when they have two of them on the field at the same time, like Debo, you're good luck.
Well, then you got four of them if you add in Juszczyk and Kittle, because Juszczyk, even though he doesn't get a ton of red zone action, although he does have a red zone carry for a touchdown, at least gives them a little bit more of that, you know, multiplicity.
Mismatch guy.
Right, in terms of like, when they break the huddle as a defense, you can't just automatically say, oh, it's Jordan Mason. I know that he's not going to catch it. It's, oh God, McCaffrey. He might be in the slot. He might be out wide.
You don't know where.
Exactly.
Stress.
So we have to account for all that.
Go ahead.
I was going to, like, you can't overstate the importance of McCaffrey to the offense, which is why, again, think at the deadline, it's like, yes, you hope that that's back, and that's going to be the reason why you get things back on track. But you also have to account for the possibility that he's not the same player, either because he's a diminished version of himself, or God forbid he gets hurt again because he has a tendonitis in both of his Achilles. So while those aren't the reports right now, that's a possibility. And if that happens, if he goes down, then I do think that you're in big trouble. And
no doubt.
Giving away future draft picks, however meaningless you might feel like they are going to be increasingly more valuable when you have to pay a quarterback the amount of money that they're going to pay Brock Purdy. And I just don't feel like it was worth them giving up whatever at this trade deadline for a player, when, again, their season is more dependent on the guys coming back anyways.
Yeah, but a lot of what you said, Evan, the player, I believe, Dibs and Willard, I don't think excited the Niners, and that had a lot to do with not making a move. Just my two cents.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know what they were actually after. I mean, you do look at a lot of the other contenders, and it's not even just today. It's like, you know, the Chiefs got to work like 2 weeks ago. Yeah. And so you look at some of the contenders, and I think you can fairly argue that they were more aggressive and they got better in the last 2 weeks, more so than the 49ers did. But, you know, it could be what you're saying, that they weren't that excited by what was available, a matter of need. But I also do think the Niners are going into a period of time where they do not want to give up draft picks. And this year's draft is a great example. They've done a great job of finding things in the 5th, 6th, and 7th rounds.
Yeah,
so don't just kick those picks as if they're nothing when you're about to raise your quarterback salary 50 or 60.
I get that, but you're getting a ton of picks still compensatory. You're getting a third for sure for D'Amico Ryans and Rand Carthon, and you're probably getting a 5th, 6th, and 7th for the free agency law. So you've got picks to burn. And I don't think that even if you make all... whatever, 12 of those picks, you're not going to keep all 12 guys, even if you hit like you did last year. So, for me, you had picks to move, you had picks to burn, and they mostly sat on their hands.
They mostly did, but one place that we do not sit on our hands.
Before you go, this for all you three, real quick, okay. My baby's
turn. You have to play this
Donkey Roll. You don't have to do it.
But look,
he's embraced it.
You can sit down and hang out as long as you want.
Everything has to be on your phone. They don't take the paper tickets to Clipper New Arena.
That's how they'll early at some point.
That's why some people are calling it the out on a dome.
Right.
Not the in on it. Yeah, that's a Lucas Alexander special.
Moss got benched for like USC.
That? No, it was a two, but the fact that you recycled it makes it a one.
Oh, boy.
Not a lot of grace coming from Dibs today.
He's not the director of jokes.
No, but he's the director of sports.
Yeah.
And so you got to cite your sources.
Give him respect his name.
Big J Journalism.
Nobody knows what that means, by the way.
Cite your sources.
The director.
I have no idea what that means.
I hope people cite their sources tonight.
Yeah.
All right, go vote. Go vote. That's all I'll say. Woden Dibs coming up. Steve Kerr at 3 o'clock, right?
That's
right?
Correct.
Right? All
That's
right correct. Here on 95.7 The Game.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now, back to
Will and Bibby
on 95.7 The Game.
You know what maybe is the question to ask? The question to ask is who'd you vote for? No, I'm kidding. The question to ask is, if you wanted the 49ers to make a move that they didn't make, what position? What position was it? I'm fascinated by all the answers, you know?
I gave you the answer before.
I know what you wanted, a pass rusher.
Right, or D-lineman, and they addressed it, but you know, exactly.
You're first of many.
He was going to say.
Night-night.
It's one of those days, yeah. I thought that they could have addressed it with a little bit more impact.
A little vigor.
I mean, Khalil Davis, not to be mistaken with Khalil Davis, he could be good. He could be a real steal for a seventh-round pick next year, but it feels to me like a Farhan move.
I've seen that comment get made a few times.
I have not seen it.
Since 1 o'clock,
and I haven't made it, but this feels very Farhanian. Like, we're going to go ahead and, you know, find Blake Sable, Rule 5. This is Blake Sable. Okay. It's a Rule 5 catcher, and
this is Mark Canna.
Yeah, well, exactly. Well,
yeah, and those people can have an impact sometimes.
I mean, this is Matthew Boyd. The pitcher they brought in who never pitched.
No, Khalil Davis could play.
Who are you?
Don't you think?
He hasn't yet.
They haven't had a game yet.
But my point is well taken.
They've had him for 90 minutes. No, I don't think your point was well taken.
My point is well served. It may not be well taken,
you
but
got taken, Dibs. Served.
Thank you. Appreciate that,
Nice
Stiney.
Pick last night.
Yeah, I'm
good
back.
Good job.
I'm him.
Yeah.
And actually, that pick.
The box.
That pick got me second place in my confidence pool, which what was a little bit of a cha-ching.
I was going to say, you said in the text thread, I got second place, and I wanted to respond with an old Top Gun line. There's no points for second place.
In this pool, you get...
But apparently there is?
You get 14 times your money back for first. You get 6 times back for second, and you get your money back for third. Every week.
Each week.
Each week, yeah. So I got a 6X.
How much money did you put in for a week?
It's $10 a week.
So you made $60?
Yeah. Minor bag alert.
Minor!
And I already had a first for the week.
Oh.
In week 2 or 3, so I'm all whole now for the year.
Hey, Dibs. I like your picks.
Yeah, thank you.
You're still under 500, though.
It's funny that you say that because...
It's like I feel like your fifth try to get back to 500.
I'm Mr. Thursday Night.
But you're not.
I'm really not.
Bay Area, it's Steve Kerr.
Oh, no, don't
do it, Steve. Your picks stink.
Coming up here in 30 minutes, I'm holding his feet to the fire.
No, you won't. No, you won't.
Steve, I thought you had my back.
Yeah.
Steve?
Nope. Anyway. Yeah.
He's getting hard questions today.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
Steve, the Clipper game. How come you're not 7-0?
I don't care.
That's pretty good, Steve.
I mean, to what level? We can get into this later.
Dude, Steve.
What? What about him?
I mean, why'd you choke away the Clipper game, Steve? What the hell happened, Steve?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
To what level are you waiting for these next three games to really kind of like assess the Warriors?
No level.
No level.
No, because my expectation is that they win 1 of 3.
Okay.
And if they go 0-3, then I'm not going to say, oh, that's okay because I'm
paper
a
tiger.
I'm a Kerr stan, but if they go 0-3, I'll get it because Boston has lost once. OKC is undefeated,
right.
And so is Cleveland.
So is Cleveland.
So you're playing the three best teams in basketball. So my expectation, honestly, is just win one. And if they go 2-1, or God forbid 3-0, they're allowed to. My God, then it's like, let's get the
parade
route.
We're going to be championship.
Yes, let's set the parade route.
Right.
That's it.
Absolutely.
But I won't overreact the other way if they lose all three. That's me.
Okay.
I do think that it's a tough spot in the schedule. Boston right now is amazing. And I told my buddy Sean yesterday, my pick of the day was Boston minus 11 at Atlanta, and they won by 30. They won by 30.
Yeah, they're good at basketball.
They are really
good. They're really good. And they're really good at home.
Well, and Cleveland has it humming. And then you've got OKC at the end of a 5-game road trip, which, as we've talked about, the end of a road trip is never easy no matter who you play.
Nothing
easy.
Let
alone when you play a team like that. So I do think the next three, it's going to be the toughest 3-game stretch of the year.
If the Warriors win any of them, it will be the first home loss for that team. None of them have lost a home game yet.
Well, only one of them has lost a game.
A game at all, right.
And that's the game
and
tomorrow.
It was the Celtics,
right.
and it was on the road. So, yeah, nobody's lost. Like, the Celtics are 7-1. They've only played 2 games at home. They have 6 road games.
Jeez,
and they're 5-1 in those games. So, yeah, anyway, we can push that conversation because I do think that that's kind of going to be what a lot of the rest of the week is about. But anyway, I just, again, and I think that at least to a certain degree, what we're seeing come through on the text line and the tweets and just the kind of the engagement that we're getting is, yeah, a lot of you are taking today as an indicator that the Niners are not very confident in their team. And I don't see it that way at all. I really think that the Niners all year long will be licking their wounds because of what happened against the Rams and the Cardinals. Like, you don't shake that stuff. There is going to be a penalty for that. Hopefully the penalty will not be that you missed the playoffs. But it may well be seeding in the playoffs for sure. You know, you may end up being the 3 seed or the 4 seed or worse or no seed because of those losses. So I do think there will be a penalty. But to sort of translate that to thinking that the 49ers don't think that they have what it takes, I did, like, how on earth, you know, the idea that, that this team would be like, well, let's start jockeying for next year. Next year, I thought we were all under the premise that a bunch of the players that they have right now aren't even going to be on the team next year.
It's Super Bowl or bust. I'm not getting off that. I don't believe that you get off that after 8 games at 4-4 in a division where 9-8 might get it done. 10-7 will get it done. I mean, can you go 6-3? Can you beat your 3 divisional opponents? Yeah, you should be 3-0 in the division right now, but you're not. So can you beat Arizona at home? Yeah. Can you beat the Rams at home? Sure. Can you beat the Seattle Seahawks when they're off a bye week? Yeah, that's going to be tougher, I think, than it was the first time. But yeah, you can win all 3 of those, and then you take your other 6 games and you go 3-3. Boom, 10-7, you win the division.
I mean, isn't there any room for the people they have playing better? That's kind of my question. Like, that's the other part of this conversation I'm off of. Christian McCaffrey is a big deal. It would be ridiculous to think otherwise. And I think that in terms of play calling and emotions, obviously McCaffrey is going to bring a massive jolt to everything. Any stadium in which he plays, the huddle, the play calling, everything, the sideline,
yep.
Massive jolt. But the idea that he is the key, and if he is himself, then the Niners are amazeballs again. And if he's not, then they're dust. I don't see it that way, because even, for example, even if Christian is exactly what he was last year, whatever y'all have been watching on the defensive side of the ball stays exactly the same. And I would argue it needs to be better. But don't we leave any room for a brand new defensive coordinator, maybe finding some things a little bit?
Oh, yeah.
Do we leave room for Devondre Campbell, who had his best game in his last game? Do we leave room for him being a little bit better? Do we leave room for Dre Greenlaw getting back into the lineup? Do we leave room for these defensive linemen who, outside of Nick Bosa, are largely playing together for the first time, getting in concert a little bit more together? Like, that's what I think the Niners need. They're going to need their guys they have to be better in the second half of the year.
Without a doubt, and that's why I think that this Tampa Bay game, while not a must-win, feels like maybe the biggest game of the year that we've had so far, because you're 4-4, and Tampa, you look at last night's game against Kansas City, and Tampa Bay is down their first, second, and third wide receiver. All 3 of their top 3 wide receivers were out, and yet they hung with Kansas City. And if their head coach had, I don't know, cojones, and went for 2 and tried to snuff out Patrick Mahomes, maybe they beat Kansas City and give them their first loss. So Tampa Bay is not going to be an easy game, I don't think. Even though Tampa will be on a short week and they still won't have 3 wide receivers, Tampa Bay, even without all that, they hung with Kansas City, and they were every bit as good as Kansas City up until the end.
They're a solid football team. It's a road game. Like, the way the Niners have played, I don't assume anything's going to be easy. I believe they should win.
They should.
Their situation is better, and their roster is better. And if they play as well as they're capable of playing, they will win the football game.
Yes.
But they don't. They haven't been doing that all the time.
And
this
you
year.
Look at last night, and Tampa Bay was 9.5-point underdog, and they had a chance
took it to overtime.
They had a chance to win the game, but the head coach chose not to go for 2. And this is one where you can look at analytics all you want, but I look at across the field. And if I'm Todd Bowles, and I look across the field, and I see number 15 licking his chops and getting ready to get the ball back. And he'd get the ball back anyway.
Right.
But he would have gotten the ball back with a one-point deficit if you scored and got the two.
And I think, how many seconds were on the clock? Like 27?
About 30, yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm with you. Plus...
And he called timeout when he shouldn't have.
Yes, he did, because that left all the time on the clock.
Right. Yeah. It just... Yeah. That whole thing, when you're going up against Mahomes, you have to do everything you can to not give him a chance.
I just, to me, sometimes simplify it, right? There's the old adage that if you're in that situation and you are on the road, and especially as the underdog, and I know that teams don't think that way, like, right. Oh, we're the underdog, but yeah, a little bit. Like, you're going up against the Chiefs. They have not lost a game since
Christmas. Yep.
And they have only lost... in the playoffs, in the Super Bowl one time in the last 4 years. So there's that. When all of those things are sitting there and you're on the road, yeah, dude, try to steal one. Try to steal one. Liken it to an NBA game. Like, so tomorrow night, if the Golden State Warriors get the ball and there's 10 seconds to go and they're down by two,
yep.
What kind of a shot would you like them shooting?
The chef!
I want a three.
Yep.
Well, to tie the game? Send it to overtime, maybe?
Curry!
Yeah, that'd
shoot
be nice.
Shoot a three ball.
Yep.
Shoot a three ball and do it at the buzzer and then run for the locker room and hope that it went in. John Lynch today on the TK show, our buddy Tim Kawakami, was talking about the idea of a trade and a trade of some magnitude and whether or not that is needed to kind of ignite the locker room. Take a listen.
I think that that's not the reason you make moves. Sometimes that's a byproduct of making moves. It excites the clubhouse. But I do believe that our team, our locker room, our leadership believes we've got everything we need. And they think a lot like me when we start getting the Christian McCaffrey. He's a game changer. Dre Greenlaw, he's a game changer. Hufanga, when we can start getting these guys back, I think there's a lot right there. I do watch other sports though. You think like the Dodgers who just won it all, like Tommy Edman, that was a really good move under the radar. And sometimes those under the radar, I mean, we've made really good moves, big splash moves like McCaffrey, Trent Williams in an offseason that not at the deadline. But then sometimes you think some of the better moves we've made is a guy like Charles Omenihu, who we got some value at for the year we traded for him. But then his deal went on to the next year, and Charles played some good football, turned into a comp pick for us. So there's a lot of different variables you look at. You always want to try to make your team better. There's things that have to fit. And, you know, we do have to be mindful that there's some tough cap realities coming in the future. And so that plays a part in this as well.
This is a great soundbite because John Lynch sat there whenever they recorded this, likely within the last 48 hours
yep.
or so.
Yep.
He told you exactly what they were going to do.
Right. He's trying to get Tommy Edman. NLCS MVP.
Or Charles Omenihu, who right. was really good. And if memory serves, from the exact same team, right? Omenihu came from Houston. So they made the similar phone call out to Houston where there's D'Amico Ryans and there's a lot of overlap from the 49ers organization. They all know one another well. And they went out and got another defensive lineman from Houston. And he's literally telling you why. He's telling you why it's not a bigger swing. And you can be frustrated by it. I hoped for something that had a little bit more pizzazz, too. But I also accept his answer, which is, A, if you're looking to add pizzazz to the locker room, we did, and we will. Their names are Christian McCaffrey and Dre Greenlaw. And when he mentions that cap reality thing at the end, he's specifically talking about Brock Purdy. And he's not wrong. In other words, we're not taking on any big contracts, number one. And number two, we're not willy-nilly with our draft picks. We're not sending them out because what we're going to need big time in the next 3 years of Niner football to still be good is cheap labor. And that's found in the draft.
No doubt. And they did that this year. And I do think that they've found a lot of cheap labor. And they also have undrafted players who are helping them out. And I look at what they actually did bring in. And I don't know if he's going to be a Tommy Edman. You brought in Khalil Davis. According to Pro Football Focus, this year on defense, he is a 53.5, which is slightly above Devondre Campbell and what he's been defensively. So you're basically getting the defensive line version of Devondre Campbell. He's 84th out of 124 among interior defensive linemen, a guy who only played 172 snaps, which is about a third. And when he played, he wasn't very good. So that's who you brought in. Depth. According to Pro Football Focus.
Yeah, depth.
Right.
Depth.
You brought in Devondre Campbell of the D-line.
Well, it's a different position. I don't know
it
if you
is,
can...
But
yeah, that's... I don't know if it's that easy
to do. Based on this one metric, he rates very similar to Devondre Campbell, almost identical in what his impact has been in, granted, a third of the snaps of Devondre Campbell, where Campbell's played more snaps than almost anybody on your defense.
What if I asked it to you this way? Who'd you want him to replace? Because that's largely what's happening. If you take big swings at the trade deadline. Washington just got Marshawn Lattimore. Now, there's a corner in Washington. I don't know the Washington corners, but someone's getting replaced. Someone's taking a seat. DeAndre Hopkins goes to the Kansas City Chiefs. Somebody sat down. Juju Smith-Schuster got hurt, and I don't know if he's getting back in the lineup now. So I guess maybe that's sort of the question that we should ask. Baseball teams do this at the trade deadline as well. You'll sit there and go, I want this guy. Okay, who's sitting? So who is it that you want to take fewer snaps for the 49ers who right now is getting them?
Either Malik Collins or Jordan Elliott. Or
Malik Collins, good.
He's been fine.
Yeah.
I mean, they've both been fine. Neither one of them has been that impactful. So I would look for somebody to come in and push them and make one of them the depth piece instead of bringing somebody in to come in behind them.
Well,
and that's what this is.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's a competition now to see who, you know, if the cream rises to the top. You know, like I'll say this, and something I was kind of saving for a little bit after Steve Kerr, because the inspiration for it is Buddy Hield. But how many times in pro sports have we watched someone look like one player somewhere and then come somewhere else and look a lot better?
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? So, and I'm not saying, I don't know the damn thing about Khalil Davis. I have no idea what's going to happen here. But I'm certainly, whenever there's an acquisition, I'm going to jump in with an open mind to see how that player fits this system when also given a boost in opportunity. You know, like, that's the other thing. When you start, it's like a pinch hitter in baseball. Your average is going to be like 202. And you can't ask that guy to go hit 270 because he's hitting the ball, like he's out there twice a week getting an at bat. So I don't know how the Niners are going to use him, but if he gets more snaps, maybe there's more production that comes along with it, too.
Yeah, could be. It's a little different with a defensive tackle where you do get, you know, rotational snaps and you get a chance to go out there and play at least some. And I don't know what percentage of the snaps he's actually played, but the Niners have not found any real mainstays in that spot. You mentioned Malik Collins, and he leads the team in snaps at that spot, and the rest of them, it's been piecemeal, Jordan Elliott. It was Hargrave while he was healthy. It's been a lot of, you know, givens and in and out, and they haven't had an answer.
We're streaming live on Twitch and YouTube, everybody, okay? Twitch.tv/957TheGame. YouTube.com/957TheGame. You can watch us live. If anyone swears you get to hear it, you can see Dibs's face when the Warriors tell him that his picks stink. Or the opposite, when they tell him that his picks aren't that bad. You won't hear that from Steve Kerr, though. Steve will be on in just about 10 minutes. Subscribe to the channel for all of the 95.7 The Game content all week long, and it is powered by First NorCal Credit Union. I'm with you as we get ready for Steve Kerr here. I'm not going to overreact to these next three games the same way I don't feel like I'm going to overreact to the first handful of games. But one thing that I try not to do in sports, I don't get too far into the whole they haven't played anybody thing, because it's very rare to me that a team can just roll through bad teams and they can do that consistently, but then in actuality they're not very good. That is the definition of good, is the team that can roll through consistently the bad teams. I'll give one example to the contrary. It was last year's Dallas Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys won the NFC East. They were a total paper tiger. They were a house of cards because they're really good at beating bad teams, and they never, ever, ever beat good teams. And so you go to the playoffs and you stink. I don't know if that will be these Warriors, but that's not the norm. Usually, if you're 6-1 and you're beating people by double digits on a night in and night out basis, home and road, there's a word for that, and it's good. It's a good team.
Yeah,
but I don't know if they're great, but they're good.
Last year was kind of that example, though, of what you're talking about, because when you look at the really good teams, and you know when you faced OKC, you were 1-3, and you faced the Clippers, you were 1-3, and I could run through Minnesota, you were 0-3, and all the rest of the really good teams in the West, you didn't beat. So I do think that there's something to that. Last year when they went 46-36, they were fat on the bad teams, and when they played the good teams, they weren't as good. So is this team different? Only time will tell. Well, I'm with you in that. If they play these three games, they go 0-3, I'm not just going to automatically say, well, you beat the good teams and you can't beat the bad teams, and there you go.
Well, and how do they lose, too, if they lose?
True.
You know what I mean?
And last year was a little bit of an anomaly, because when you talk about Oklahoma City and they went 1-3, two of those games were absolute, you know, gack jobs.
They were gack jobs. And by the way, they beat Oklahoma City very early in the season.
In a thriller, yeah. In a thriller. 172-169.
And they went 5-1, but yeah. I'd argue, and we talked about this yesterday, did last year's 5-1 feel a lot like this year's 5-1? And I know now it's 6-1, but I'd argue no, it didn't.
I agree.
It didn't feel like that at all. It felt like a couple things. You know, they had the Klay Thompson buzzer beater. You had the thriller in Oklahoma City. You had some things that could have gone either way. Plus, you were missing out on a vibe. The vibe still wasn't there. There was Klay. We didn't know, but Draymond, just you know, a handful of weeks later, was going to be gone for an indefinite period of time. And who knows what's around the corner this year. But what I'm seeing right now is most quarters so far this year, the Warriors have been a dominant basketball team.
Other than the third quarter against Houston.
Yes. Again, most.
No, I'm with you. Most. I just want to point that out because that was one quarter where it was like, oh my God, weren't you just up 31?
Right.
And now this thing is a ball game again. But last year was the year where, you know, you look at what they did against Dallas 1-3, Denver 0-4, OKC 1-3. Like, the good teams you didn't beat. But this year, I do think that you're more constructed to survive that. And a lot of last year, too, was the Draymond factor, where he missed a fourth or more of the year based on, you know, what he's done. And I can't wait to talk to Steve about that, because it feels more and more like this Draymond 2.0 is a new Draymond.
I mean,
like what he was just saying on his own podcast about trash talk and how fun it was, and he got into the back and forth and how it was like.
And then he started complimenting Jordan Poole.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like, he's playing a lot better.
I mean,
and he is. He went 2-for-10 from 3-point range last night.
Doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter. That happens to shooters.
Was it 2-for-10?
2-for-10.
He shot 10 threes.
He took 10 threes.
That's a month.
For who?
For Draymond.
Oh, for Draymond, yes. I'm talking about Jordan.
Draymond. Oh, my God. I was like, I don't remember that many threes.
Not Draymond. Jordan. Jordan Poole was 2-for-10 from three-point range last night.
Pay the over on Jordan's points.
What did he score? 24?
Yeah, something? I had him at 22 on the prize picks.
Was it an over? I had him at under four threes.
Yeah, I should have had him at over shot attempts at 37.
Good.
Because you knew he was going to be out there trying to like light it up.
Hang on, let me get his line for you. Jordan Poole, 8-of-20 from the field for 24 points.
There you go, pay the over, Denver.
But 2-of-10 from the three-point line, 6-of-7 from the free throw line. He was able to amass one rebound.
It was an accident.
3 assists, that's when the ball bounced off of his foot. 3 steals, 4 blocks last night, and only 1 turnover. And he was a -9 for you plus-minus geeks.
And we need to ask Steve Kerr about what he's going to do about this free throw problem. Last in the year, in the league, Mark.
Well, they just need Steph Curry to come back.
They're last in the league.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing, coach? Are we running liners? What are we doing? Well, I mean, gassers?
Yeah, last night they shot
push-ups?
73%, and that was with Steph going 6-for-6.
Yeah, that's not good enough.
No, it's not good. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Guess what, kids and campers? Steve Kerr joins us next on Willard and Dibbs.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.